everybody. It's time to roll 4 and 10 with Creator's Corner. And it's been a little bit. I know Liam and I got into the seat and we did a review of Monster Corps, but lo and behold, we're back again.
I'm sorry, yeah, I haven't produced that yet.
They're probably going to hear this before our review of Monster Corps.
Oh, they will. I will get this one ready tonight. I'm so excited about this.
And by this, of course, he means the new playtest that dropped today.
So good.
Who's that lurking over in the corner?
It is Droman, the Guardian Dwarf. Oh, what's up, y'all? It's Liam. I'm here for this one, too.
That was a very impressive dwarf.
That was a good dwarf. The more the merrier.
And those of you that have not met Liam, he's definitely not a dwarf. So, I mean, it's just atypical.
I'm definitely not
playing
a dwarf.
Against type. Playing against
all right,
type.
So today for you all, we're going to jump into the Guardian, one of the classes released in the Battlecry class playtest. It released two martial characters, the Commander and the Guardian. We're just doing the Guardian today. We're going to hit the Commander probably next week for you guys.
Woo!
I assume next week. So I don't see why not.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. See why not. We'll figure it out. God, so good.
So what is the Guardian, Trevor?
The Guardian is a martial class with a key attribute of strength, because why the heck not? He's got 10 HP plus con modifier, but the Guardian's whole shtick is to take damage instead of their teammates. This is the classic MMORPG tank. It literally is. It's got a taunt mechanic. It's got damage mitigation. It's got like retribution for damaging teammates. It's got it all. It's so fun. Now, you're not going to be dealing a lot of damage with this class, but you're going to prevent a lot of damage from hitting your allies. That's for sure.
Absolutely. There's one thing that was very interesting that threw me off for a minute was seeing how quickly they gain their proficiency in armor. A lot of people would say, they actually have more armor than the champion. It's not really true because of their taunt mechanic, which we'll go through here in a bit, unless you want to jump right into it. What do y'all want to do?
Well, typically, I think when we go over these, usually we'll go over the quick, like, base features
initial
of the class.
Proficiencies and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, initial proficiencies, then we'll hit those key features and then go into feats. But yes,
I was gonna say,
is the killer
initial
app
proficiencies
here.
Time me, we can do this in 6 seconds. You're trained in perception, expert in fortitude and will, trained in reflex. You are trained in athletics and 3 additional skills equal to plus your intelligence modifier. Trained in simple martial and unarmed, trained in all armor and no armor. And, of course, trained in the Guardian class DC. That is all.
Easy peasy.
Now, the cool things about them is they get that armor expertise quick.
They start with Guardian armor, which means you get armor specialization at level 1. It's the only class to get armor specialization at level 1.
So most classes never awesome get it, too. Period. There's like...
Yeah. Yep. So that's huge. But Trevor, go ahead and hit that intercept strike.
Yeah, so one of their big things that they have is their special reaction, the intercept strike. It's a lot like what the champion's reactions are, right? But I think it's real cooler. Real cooler? Much cooler. Mm-hmm. So intercept strike
really super cooler.
Super duper neat, guys. The trigger is that an adjacent ally takes physical damage. You fling yourself in the way of the oncoming harm to protect an ally. You take the damage instead of the ally. Though thanks to your armor, you gain resistance to all damage against the triggering damage equal to 2 plus your level.
Yeah, so not champion where you soak some of the damage for them and they still take the damage. You take the damage instead, which is huge. That's huge.
And you get resistance, so it kind of helps you on crits too, on top of resistance.
Yep.
Which you have the potential to be taking a lot of. Like, there's a barbarian in your team, and you go in next to that barbarian. As everyone who's played one knows, almost every other attack against you is a crit. So you could be taking crit damage against the barbarian's AC, so that can... I mean, it almost nullifies their high AC in some regard. So it's a really cool balancing feature I thought was very unique.
Yep.
Right, that is something important to know. Your AC has nothing to do with intercept strike. You
correct.
Just take the hit.
I was like, make
you
that
take
very
the L
clear
for your ally.
Yep, take the L, baby. All right. So are you down if I cover taunt?
Yeah, because that's what really balances this class, I think, is taunt. It's really cool. It's really neat. But it really silences the naysayers that are saying things like, well, the AC scales too high.
AC's OP. AC OP. Yeah, AC's OP. Yeah, it is not OP. So taunt, you get this level one. Often you protect your allies and have the enemy want to attack you instead. It's not guaranteed, but one action taunt with an attention-getting gesture, cutting your mark, threatening shout, you focus your enemy. This even includes mindless creatures, because that was Christian's first question. Yes, it even includes mindless creatures. So they make a will save against your class DC. Side note, your class DC actually scales up really well with this class, unlike most. Regardless,
it's like
the
most of
is,
the modern Pathfinder classes where the DC of the class skyrockets real early. Think Thaumaturge, yeah. Think Psychic.
Yep. It is immune to your taunt. Regardless of the result, it's immune to your taunt to the beginning of your next turn. If you gesture, this gains the visual trait. If you speak or otherwise make noise, it's auditory trait. Your taunt must have one of these two traits. Crit success, unaffected success until the beginning of your next turn. The creature gets a plus two circumstance bonus to attack rolls against you. So yes, you scale up your proficiency, which would give you a bonus of two when you go up with that proficiency, but the enemy gets a plus two to strike you. So effectively, it evens out. So if you're going around, let's say you taunt two creatures at a time, you effectively have the same AC as someone who's normally wearing heavy armor or like has like capped AC that is capable of wearing, like, you know, bringing up their AC very high. So you're not actually getting any an advantage there. The bonus there, or I should say the nice takeaway from that is the enemies that don't choose to attack you take a minus one penalty on a success for any attack rolls or DCs when using hostile actions. On a failure, it's a minus two. Crit failure, minus three. Really nice ability. Really, really nice ability.
So it's definitely a hit me or you'll regret it action.
Yep.
Kind of the same thing as like a paladin champion, right?
Compelled
duel. You hit me or yeah. I'm going to hit you anyway. But it's complete opposite of like a tyrant champion. Like if you hit me, you'll regret it. No, hit me or you're going to have a problem.
Something really cool that we didn't actually mention in the Guardian armor, where you do get the armor specialization, you also get, you can rest in medium and heavy armor, which actually is a big deal. Like you're the only class that can do this. You could take Sentinel as an archetype, but other than that, there is no other way that you can actually rest and get the benefits of resting and not be fatigued in medium or heavy armor. So that late night That's encounter, huge. you can already be armored up. And I've run encounters where my big bad Ooh. Party didn't have armor and it yep. made, yeah, it's it painful. Was like, oh,
it's
oh God.
Painful, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I almost had two characters die in my Age of Ashes campaign when they were level seven. Because of that, they got ambushed in the night. Oh yeah, that was a bad time.
That's gross.
Christian, what's that threat technique?
Next, after this, you have two choices. When you are taunting, you can either do Furious Vengeance, enemies ignore taunts, taking the brunt of your anger. You deal two additional damage on strikes against creatures affected by your taunt if they take a hostile action that doesn't include you as a target. The bonus lasts till the end of your turn. This additional damage increases by two at 9th and 16th level. And mitigate harm. You gain resistance to damage from critical hits made by a creature affected by your taunt. The resistance is equal to 2 plus half your level. This resistance increases by 2 at 5th and 11th. Oh, and 15th increases 3 times.
Yeah, the crazy part about mitigate harm is if you taunt somebody, and they crit, let's use that barbarian. Let's say they crit your barbarian friend, which is not hard to do. And you go in to mitigate, you also gain. So not only do you get the intercept damage resistance, but you also get that extra resistance, which is so if they ended up critting them, so nuts. But that's not
wait,
a lot
do they
of
actually stack?
Mitigated.
I don't believe so.
Go no? If you're reading the playtest, there is a thing on the playtest thing on what page
the resistance
14.
Reminder at the top.
Resistance reminder. It Specifically says that.
Oh, okay. So
these
so you
resistances.
Okay.
Yeah, the resistances do
in,
not.
I'm
stack.
Looking in Foundry. I'm sorry. I'm looking. In
yeah,
Foundry.
Because intercept no strike is almost always going to be better than just the mitigate harm, because mitigate harm would allow you to just kind of blanket resistance from anything you're taunting, but intercept strike will give you full level plus two resistance as opposed to half level plus two. It almost evens out when you hit 15th, but it's still usually going to be better to do regular intercept.
Yeah, because they would be specifically targeting you for this. Yeah, okay. Yeah, never mind. Never mind. Okay, yeah,
it is good because remember, you know,
it's still good.
It's for a crit. It's for a crit, right? So like it effectively is doubled because it's for a crit. It's so good. I love it.
Yep. Still very, very good.
Another cool thing they get is at third level, they get Die Hard for free. And not only do they get Die Hard for free, right? The first time per day that you would normally be reduced to dying three or higher, you just stay at dying two.
Instead. Yep.
Yep.
And even if you took Die Hard before, it says you can go swap it out to a new feat and you still get retrained with it. I was like, wow. That's awesome. So even if you want it, like let's say you're starting at level one or level two for your campaign, that's so awesome. Like, yeah, I can just retrain it something else instead.
Yeah, man. It. Like stacking all those I'm not gonna die feats from orc or from human.
Yeah,
so good on this thing.
Or dwarf.
I love it.
Or dwarf.
Yeah, the man.
Toughness and all that. Yeah. Yeah.
Their other proficiencies scale pretty good too, because they get expert in reflex a fifth, which is
crazy.
Not usually that's happening crazy. For a heavy armor class, right?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, you get armor expertise and reflex expertise at fifth, so that is going to be a big help. But I have a feeling these guys are going to be running low on hit points a lot.
You're going to need somebody ready to top you up all the time. Which, you know, when we talk about the commander, they got a lot of stuff like a commander guardian in the same party. So
nuts. Absolutely nuts. Seventh level is pretty sweet too. You get the reaction time, perception increases to expert, and you gain a reaction whenever you roll initiative for combat, but you can only use it for reactions for guardian feats or class features, which there are plenty of other reactions you can pick up.
Isn't that fairly unique to this class? Is getting the additional reaction?
So essentially it's like a unique version, because like the difference with a gunslinger is it's a free action and they can use it just like right at the get-go or like essentially at the start of their turn. But this reaction is unique because typically you don't have a reaction until your turn, but this is the only way you can get a reaction before you would actually have your turn.
It's extremely powerful.
Like a lot of people are sleeping on it. And I'm like, yup, dog, this is crazy. This is actually crazy.
It depends, because that's technically not a official rule. It's up to the GM if you want to allow your players to have reactions before their turn or not. So if you play in a party where that is the norm, then this truly has no meaning to you. If you play in a party where you don't get reactions till your turn, then this is a big deal. So this is the only one that really is going to vary a huge amount table to table.
Yeah, that's true. Table to table for sure. Yeah. And they don't get that weapon expertise until seventh though, or other marshals get it at five. So essentially they just swap armor expertise and weapon expertise for five and seven. So
I mean, you're not going to be hitting hard with this class. And that kind of flows into like when we get to the end and we talk about our feelings on this. One of the few things I don't like about this class, not that it doesn't hit hard, but something that means about this class and the other things tacked onto it. But I'm fine with it. I've always loved, like if I ever played like a CRPG or an MMO or anything like that, I've always played tanks. This is like perfect fantasy for me of a martial character. Like this may be my favorite class past Thaumaturge now after reading this thing.
Wow. So,
and that seventh level too is a pretty big one for lacking running behind. So that also means like you're playing this class wrong if you make a second attack. you're already behind the gun. Yeah.
Ninth level, pretty decent. We get battle hardened, which gives us fortitude. It's essentially juggernaut.
Juggernaut.
Master fortitude, crit success on success, guardian expertise. Or you get that expert for guardian class DC, which is really nice. It's really, really nice. Because that's based off your strength, which is going to be high anyway.
Absolutely.
So, very, very good.
That's why having that high reflex DC is great too, because you're probably going to dump dex. You're just flat out, you're going to dump decks on this class.
Mm-hmm.
To help encourage you dump decks, one thing that we actually haven't said, but at every armor increase, only your medium and heavy armor proficiency increases, not Correct. Your unarmored, not your light. So if you Correct. Are ever in that situation, you're going to be really bad off. Like, really, yeah. really bad off.
Yeah, that's one of those things where it's really great if you, like, take Hell Knight or something and you can call your armor to you and stuff. That's going to mm-hmm. be one of the few times that ends up being useful, potentially.
Yep.
Speaking of armor, at level 15, they get legendary proficiency, right? I know I skipped over yes. a few, but the rest of these are kind of, we get specialization at 13th. But legendary armor at 15th. This thing, you know, where the game really starts getting fun is between 12 to 15, in my opinion. That's like the funnest levels, right?
Oh, yeah.
That is when you are 13's nutty. Absolutely 13's a nutty. Meat mountain as a guardian. Hitting that unyielding resolve at 15th as well. So you get master will saves, you get legendary mm-hmm. armor proficiency. You've already gotten greater armor specialization. It's wonderful.
At 13th though, doubling the value of your armor potency rune for greater armor specialization for calculating resistance is nice. That's all mitigated damage. All that stuff adds up.
Yeah. You know, if you have to track that stuff. Because you are going to get smacked around so much. I mean,
it's one of those things
class.
Where, like, if you took 14 hits in a combat because you were being healed when you were getting low, and the difference, you know, if normally you were mitigating 5 of that damage, and you were now able to mitigate 7 of that damage, I mean, basic math, you just mitigated an extra like 40, 50 damage. That's crazy. Well,
more than that. Yeah, so. Well, exactly. It's great. It's fantastic. And then when you hit Guardian Mastery, you use your armor item bonus to AC instead of your dex modifier for reflex save, which is
so oh my insane. God.
Yeah. It's so, so good. And that's even cooler when we start talking about the feats that they get access to, where they can sacrifice some of that reflex to help their team out. Like, this dude is not only a damage sponge, they are freaking moving cover. These things are amazing. So let's get into the feats, guys.
Hit us off, Christian.
All right. First level, we've got a couple of interesting feats. Let's just go over them really quick by name. And then if you guys want to pick one or two, we can kind of say what they do. But first level, you get Bodyguard, Larger Than Life, Long Distance Taunt, Reactive Shield, Shoulder Check, Unkind Shove.
Well, let's just go through the ones that our little mini character demos have here. And then they're only level 5, but let's go through some of the ones that we have for our little characters.
Yeah, Liam put together a couple level 5 characters so we could kind of look at what these builds would look like, because I think he has more time than us because he's, you know, got his life together That's or true. Something.
Now, once I have kids, my time will be gone too. I promise.
Right?
What's Alden have?
Larger Than Life. Is cool, right? Larger
Than Life
allows you to treat yourself as one size category larger for the purposes of affecting other creatures with actions like disarm, grapple, reposition, shove, trip while wearing heavy armor. Also, you are treated as one size larger for creatures that can affect you with those same actions or things like swallow whole. So imagine taking this and Titan Wrestler, you can now tussle with things that are 3 size categories larger than you.
Well, that and what I was telling Christian was like, bro, even at level 1, or I grant you wouldn't run into one at level 1, but a gelatinous cube, which is large, it would only be able to swallow you and no one else in your party. Like, that's crazy. You've mitigated an entire creature's ability. You know, just yep. be like, nope, that's it. You can only swallow me. Sorry, buddy. So that's really fun, especially for like GMs that are like, you know, creating content for their party or around their party. There's there's really fun ways to like make the guardian feel like they're, yeah, that's just a fun like flavor thing too. Just really, really cool. My character, Droman, he's a dwarven guardian. He took Bodyguard. So you swear a vow to protect one of your allies at all costs. During your daily preparations, you choose one of your allies to become your charge. When you intercept a strike against that charge, your charge gains resistance to physical damage equal to 1 plus half your level for 1 round. So you can take 10 minutes to change who your charge is before your next daily preparations. So, like, essentially, especially from like a flavor perspective, you could actually make a character who is someone's, like, you know, battle, like, bodyguard, like, for their backstory, like, and all that stuff, which is just really so many fun little ideas with that. Love it.
Absolutely. I think my favorite feat in this, you know, group of level ones is probably a shoulder check. I just think it's really cool. And I really like actions that allow you to put things off guard, change their resistances, change their position, anything that changes the battle other than just smacking somebody. And what this allows you to do is you make a fist strike. Even if you don't have a hand free, you can use a gauntlet or a spike gauntlet. But if that strike hits, the target is off guard for the rest of your turn.
Love it. Just love it. Love it.
Wonderful. You combine that with something that you might have picked up from an archetype, like, I don't know, knockdown to lower their, you know, make them off guard to begin with and knock them down even farther. Maybe you picked up rogue because you're crazy and you popped your decks up. Now they're off guard.
I love it.
Because you're insane.
Yep. Shoulder check into strike into raise my shield.
This one to me, I don't know. It seems almost like a little bit of a trap, because why would I never just use that action to go ahead and do a either grab or trip? Because this off balance is, you know, they're off guard until the end of your turn. So it's only going to affect your turn.
Yes, that is true. If it was until your next turn, I would pick it 100%. But the fact that it's only my turn is kind of meh, to be honest.
I guess that's true.
It's good.
I guess that's true.
Yeah, it's good. But man, if it was until the beginning of my next turn.
I think as this is a playtest, I definitely think this needs a little sprucing up. Because it just really doesn't seem like anything realistically that would ever be worth taking.
Fair enough. Now, if you are trying to actually hit things, right, it's useful. But, you know, it's a good point.
Yeah, because you still get damage. Like, you still get the damage, which is good. Like, so, and the fact that you could like, crit with it and all that kind of fun stuff. So, yeah, it still has use. Absolutely.
Definitely.
All right. Second level, we have armor break, covering stance, hampering sweeps, raise haft, and shielding taunt. So what does your character have at level 2?
So I have hampering sweeps, which is neat, because this is one that, you know, keeps something in range. So you make it difficult for enemies to move away from you once they've gotten close. Until the beginning of your next turn, or until you move, whichever comes first, foes within reach of the weapon you are wielding or your unarmed attack can't use move actions to move outside of the reach of your weapon or unarmed attack. They can still move to other squares within reach of your weapon or unarmed attack.
This is OP, by the way.
I would say that this is literally actually an OP
crazy
feat.
Especially if that's the whole reason why I had him like go with the great axe and all that fun stuff. Like, if you go with a reach weapon, you have just completely taken control of the battlefield. Like, completely. Now, granted, you've put a lot of attention on yourself, which is the point, but it's really strong. The fact that they don't even get a check to get out of your reach is just nuts.
I think that's going to be changed. There needs to be a check, a save against that.
I would honestly say, this is actually really bad design, because it completely removes the DM's agency. There is no player on earth that wouldn't squirt blood out of their eyes if they said, sorry, you're next to this monster. You can't move away. You can move around it, but you can't move away. You're like, is there a check for that? Nope, you just can't. It's not good.
Now, I would say the change I would make is creatures, if they wanted to keep it this way and make it to where you didn't have a check, I would say creatures of your size or lower, or just creatures smaller than you.
I would actually take it a step further. Sort. I would say that this can only affect things you've taunted.
There you go. Because you wouldn't have enough. You wouldn't have enough actions to like make it where it's like four people.
Right. Exactly. So only something you've taunted. I think that would.
Yeah, that would balance
this in a meaningful way. Kind of like how the Thaumaturge, a lot of their class features are based on, I've exploited your vulnerability. It's the same thing.
Yep. I agree. Yeah, that would actually fix this feat. Pretty much fix the feat. Yeah, I agree. 100%.
Because, I mean, as it is right now, if three enemies ever moved up to you, you could be like, I'm going to hampering sweep three times.
And hampering sweep, you can't go anyway.
Yeah, you just get, all you have to do is get the initiative first and you run straight for somebody and then they're just stuck there. And the rest of your party can be gunslingers and just take pot shots.
Not like this feat as is at all. It's like the stupid kineticist water feat.
Paizo, if you're listening, add it to where the target must have been taunted by you, or like you must have taunted, like the creature must have been a subject of a taunt or something like that, or failed to taunt, whatever.
It's one of those feats that is super fun for a player, but just garbage for the GM. Just takes away all the fun.
And even like saying it costs more movement to move away from you, totally fine. But this, the flat out statement, you can't do it. I hate things like that because and you're like, what do you mean?
Well, I can't. Have kinesis feats, I think. They have kinesis feats that do that already. Like moving away is difficult terrain. You want to make it fun?
Do difficult terrain, or if you want to make it real fun, just say within 5 feet emanation is greater difficult terrain. So be like, hey, it's going to cost you 15 feet of movement to move away from me. It's like, okay, fair enough.
That's a huge deal.
Within your reach is greater difficult terrain. That would do it too.
Yeah, even just greater difficult terrain is
anything
painful.
Under the effect of your taunt treats all squares within your reach as greater difficult terrain. That would do it too. Like that'd be great.
All right. My little character Droman, he took shielding taunt. So you are wearing a shield. By banging loudly on your shield, you get the attention of even the most stubborn of foes, raise a shield, and then taunt a creature. You taunt gains the auditory trait, and the target also takes a -1 circumstance penalty to the save. So again, essentially just that increases your, that's another way of saying you get a +1 to your class DC, which is, it's great. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So this is super cool. Just combining two things into one action and you get a benefit on top of it. So that really like this one.
And the Guardian gets a lot of those combined feats. They get a lot of combined feats, which I'm
a lot of combined feats, a lot of free combined actions. Yeah. While we're uncovering some weird design quirks, like to me, classes that start combining the features like this is like the peak of system design for building your characters, because it's taking a lot of these niche things and making them worthwhile by giving them ways that they can actually be used in a meaningful way.
For sure.
We hit level 4, right? And we get area cover, averting shield, flying tackle, intercept energy, intercept foe, and shielded attrition. My little goober picked up flying tackle. So you barrel forward, gathering enough momentum to take down a threatening foe. Stride and leap. If you end your movement adjacent to a foe, you can attempt to trip the foe. If you succeed at the athletics check, you get a crit success. Good. And it can be used with all your movement types.
Yep. So you can fly at somebody's freaking awesome. So awesome.
Yeah, I mean, this feels like it should be a wrestler feat too, honestly.
For sure. For sure. I agree.
But like, think of it, right? Say you're just a dwarf and you got your 20 move speed, right? You can trip something 40 feet away. That's it.
Yep.
You're done.
Yep.
And chances are it's going to be a crit because this thing is, athletics is based on strength, which is the key modifier, and you'd have to be silly to not be pumping athletics as this as a guardian
because of your class DC too.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
I feel just for funsies that you should also end up prone, but because of that, you should be able to target fortitude or reflex for this. Like you're either body checking them or you're like grabbing them and throwing them.
Sure. I would absolutely allow that. Yeah,
that sounds
for sure.
Like a fun,
I think it would just be a little
role.
More flavorful like flying tackle because usually both people end up on the ground after that.
I'm thinking of like the Captain Kirk flying double leg kick. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Let's see. I picked up Shielded Attrition. If you couldn't tell, my guy is a very shield heavy build. Raising your shield, you provoke attacks. So this is actually so cool. Raising your shield, you provoke attacks from foes that might otherwise stop your allies from moving. Raise your shield and then stride up to half your speed. Your movement triggers enemies' reactions as normal, but they can choose whether or not they take that reaction or not. If they were able to react to your movement, they cannot react to your ally's movement until the start of your next turn. So let's demo what that would be like. Oh, let's say I'm up first in the turn order, then it's the enemy, then it's my friend, and that's the turn order. So if I went, it'd be me, my buddy, and then the enemy. The enemy has his reaction. I go to move around my friend, but the enemy is trying to take out my buddy who's on the ground about to die. If I moved around, which would normally provoke a reactive strike or any kind of reaction that they would have for that, they cannot, if they choose not to hit me, they cannot use that reaction to hit my friend instead. They have foregone that ability because I essentially have forced their reaction whether they want to use it or not, which is extremely powerful. It's so powerful. Thoughts, gentlemen?
Again, just like I don't like things that remove the agency from players or GMs with nothing. I mean, you don't have to do anything for this to succeed. It just automatically happens. So I would prefer some kind of check or more that you can move up. And then at the end, you raise your shield and you move the ally away, thusly lowering the chance of the attack of opportunity or the reactive strike. But yeah, I'm starting to see a little bit of a theme where, you know, they get to do actions that are just, I do this and there's nothing you can do. And that just, it never sits well with me. Like, okay, what if this creature is huge and has a 25-foot reach and it can move 30 feet at no point I can attack it? As a GM, that would just actually annoy me and make me not want to let people play the class in that category just because it's like, okay, this makes no sense. So
I don't know that I agree. I really like this mechanic specifically. Now, maybe it does need a little bit of tweaking or balancing, like, say like you get one, like you can force one thing to take their AOO, and then you get to another level and you can force two, or then you could force three or something based on like your class DC or your proficiency. I do like this mechanic though of saying like use it or lose it on the reaction. I like that because it's not saying you just don't get reactions. It's you have to use them to smack this dude, which there's a negative to that. Like if your spellcaster is on the verge of death and they can't get away and you move into range and soak up all the AOOs so they don't die, but you're still taking like 65 points of damage, I think it's worth it. It's not fully taking agency away, but it is. And
something else you could do too, you could also give the enemies that choose to use their reactions like a +2 circumstance bonus to attack roll.
Right, treat it like a taunt
against you.
Treat it like a taunt. Yeah. I like that. That would do it too. Yeah. Either +1 or +2 circumstance bonus to hit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. No, that would do
it's
it
like,
too.
It's clearly you're trying to intrude. Like you're clearly trying to intrude and force their hand.
Let me put it to you this way. This is what immediately came to my mind when I read this. You're in a party of four. You're fighting a Hydra. The Guardian goes first. He goes up. His shield is raised. He uses Shielded Attrition. That Hydra cannot make any reactive strikes for any of your allies moving up to it for the rest of the game, really, if you're just going to keep reusing this power. And to me, that is just berserk. I mean, that is so over the top to me that it's just like...
There should be a 1-minute cooldown. There should also be a 1-minute cooldown. That's a good point.
Well, and
right?
It should be a number of allies. It should... to me, the distance of reach, maybe. I mean, for fourth level, this is just way too much. And I can understand the thought process. They're not really, whoever did this isn't thinking of creatures that have multiple attacks of opportunity or, you know, various things. But I mean, the situation for this to work, those two characters could actually be 40 feet apart and you're still stopping that reactive strike.
Yeah, it should be. I think the way you can fix this is Guardian is very focused on like protecting one individual at a time. You just make it to where you must designate an ally of which you're protecting, not everything.
Yeah. Or even an ally adjacent to you. True. I mean, even if it was allies adjacent to you, I wouldn't have an issue.
Yeah, exactly. Like within your reach or something like that, or you could step to or something like that.
This one might be a good one to make the prerequisite bodyguard and say that it only affects your charge.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that too.
I really don't have a problem with it forcing the AOO against you, but no, Christian's right. There should be a cooldown at the very least. Like, yeah, if you want to come up and freaking jump in front of a Hydra and eat that, yeah, sure, great. But you can only do it once. You can't do it over and over and over again.
Yeah, or like that would be better.
Once you've used this on an enemy, it's immune.
Yeah, it's there needs to be something more to it.
Yeah, it needs to be a little more dense, and there needs to be a target requirement, like an ally targeted requirement. You can make it scale where like you can use this to protect one ally, then later on two allies, and then three allies or whatever. But yeah, the fact that it's like everybody is great. It kind of crazy. At sixth level, we have disarming intercept, energetic specialization, mobile protection, reactive strike, which I don't see very many people taking, reflexive shield, and stomp ground. You want to just pick one and then I pick one?
I mean, sure. Yeah, let's go with that.
Because we've been doing two this whole time. Might as well keep
exactly.
that going.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of mobile protection. You move swiftly, that this requires bodyguard. You move swiftly to protect your charge when they're in trouble. Your intercept strike triggers when your charge is up to 10 feet away and takes damage. When intercept strike is triggered in this way, you can stride up to 10 feet before you take the damage, though you must end your movement adjacent to your charge, closer to the source of attack of your charge, and within range or reach of the triggering attack. I really like this. I like the whole it's range reprisal. Exactly. It's range reprisal without damage, right? You just run up and I imagine you're just jumping in front. Down, Mr. President. I'm surprised at this. That's not
diving
the name.
To save the president.
The name of this feat should be Get Down, Mr. President. That should be the name of this feat because that's what you're doing.
Dude, you know what I just thought of? In terms of playing a bodyguard, cathartic mage love emotion.
Oh, yes. That Dude. Would be great.
I'm sorry, I just had to say it. That would actually based, be
but yeah.
Yeah, but still that'd be really cool because like they're all about protecting their loved one or the one they deemed loved one or whatever. Like
let's just reenact Ghost, right? Or bodyguard.
Pretty much.
And just go with
all
that.
All right. I'm definitely going to take Stomp Ground. This is so cool. Two actions. You bring your booted foot down on the ground with enough force to rattle your foes. Each creature within a 5-foot emanation must attempt a reflex saving throw against your class DC. Crit success, unaffected success, off guard until the end of your turn. Failure, creature's knocked prone, and crit failure, knocked prone, 1d6 bludgeoning damage. This is lit, like... Am I in a MMO right now? Like this is straight up like MMO moves.
This suffers from that previous feat that we were talking about. That it's a two action that leaves them off guard until the end of your turn. Right? What are you going to do with that last action? Like
yeah, again that is yeah yeah.
Like yeah, sure. Maybe if you're going to stomp ground, like this would be good. So if you stomp ground, they're knocked prone. But I mean, then they're already off guard, and then you can use. Since this isn't a strike, you can then use, grapple to pin them. That'd be useful, maybe.
Yep. The way I kind of see is like they're like success or off guards. Like, yeah, I think it should be, clumsy one until your next turn. I think would be a better. Switch for that.
Yeah, I think so too. At least or till the end of their turn or something like that.
Yeah.
Either like because
off guard is very powerful. Yeah, off guard's very powerful.
It could be like maybe until the beginning of your next turn or until the creature takes an action to steady themselves or something like that. Yeah.
Something like that.
Because off guard just to the end of your turn on a two action something on something that does not actually have a good two hit technically, because their weapon proficiency doesn't scale as well as everything else. Correct. I don't know if it's that great, right? It's a trap feat. It's cool, but I think it's a bit of a trap unless you can confirm that you're going to get that failure and knock them prone, because then you could follow it up with a, you know, pin, which is great.
Mm-hmm. You want to take eighth level?
Yeah, eighth level, group taunt, which does exactly what it says on the tin. You get three of them. Three taunts.
Let's
Mighty
go.
Bulwark, quick intercept, repositioning block, shield from arrows.
All
of these are great.
Love
all of them.
Repositioning block is actually balanced because they force, again, they didn't just give it to you for free. So it's a free action as long as you have shield block and you've used shield block to prevent damage from a creature's attack. Essentially, when someone's targeting you, which again will be very often because of taunt, when you block them, you get a free reposition attempt. With an athletics check, you get a plus one if your shield's at least fourth level, plus two if your shield's 10th level, and plus three if your shield's at least 16th level. Love it. It's just built into your shield block. Again, having that whole combined action or added in action, like a lot of added economy, which I think is fair for this class because they're going to be using their actions to raise shield or prep something every single round. So they need that economy, like saving on economy.
Right. And to that end, I think my favorite one at this level is kind of boring. It's Mighty Bulwark.
What do you mean boring? It's amazing.
Well, I know, but like the text of it is boring compared to like Shield from Arrows or Quick Intercept, which Quick Intercept is cool, gives you a free, an additional reaction that you can use to intercept a strike. Mighty Bulwark increases the bonus from Bulwark from 3 to 4, and then it applies to all reflex saves, not just damaging. Like if you have to grab an edge, you get that reflex bonus, which
reflex
is insane
bonus.
On a character that is meant to dump decks. Oh my God. That is amazing.
It's very, very good.
For things like grab an edge, my reflex sucks, or say I'm trying to remember what creature it is, but they can use Earthquake and it opens up a chasm. You have to grab an edge and try to not fall into it. If you are a big lumbering slow character, that will screw you almost every time because it requires either acrobatics or reflex. This saves you.
Mm-hmm.
So good. It might actually be too good.
Yeah. I got to shout out Shield for Arrows because the bonus is just so insane. It's a reaction, triggers an adjacent ally of a physical range strike. Requirements, you see the attacker, you are not off guard, and you have your shield raised. You place your shield in front of the path of an oncoming projectile. Your adjacent ally gains a +4 circumstance bonus to AC. If the attack misses, you have deflected the projectile with your shield. So good.
I like that last blurb that serves no purpose other than RP.
Yes.
Right?
Flavor,
deflected
baby.
It with your shield.
Flavor, baby. Love it.
Now, I like this feat from a thematic standpoint, and I like how good it is technically. It would be more good if GMs used ranged attackers more often.
Oh, I love them. I love
ranged.
I do too. I love ranged creatures.
That's one of my favorite part of like Stolen Fate, is there's a whole section of it that there's a ton of ranged attackers, and people are like, what do I do with this? I've never had to deal with this before. Yeah, that's what you get.
What do we do?
That's what you get.
Yeah, no, actually, speaking of that, in my Age of Ashes campaign, it was until book 5 of 6, they went into this pyramid, and they went, over half of these creatures, or over half of the humanoid NPCs were like super trained marksman archers. They were like, wait, what?
Nice.
I'm like, yeah, it's coming at you, buddy. And like, oh, and granted, we had like a monk who could like close the distance, but it was like, dude, I can't fight all of them. And meanwhile, everyone else is just getting pelted. And I was like, well, figure it out, man. Y'all over 16. Figure it out. So anyway, 10th level, we have Get Behind Me, Shield Salvation, Sure-Footed, your favorite, Tough Cookie.
God,
you want to go over Tough Cookie?
Tough Cookie is like a second health bar. You can do it once per day. If your current hit points are at half your maximum or less, you just get half of your maximum hit points as temp HP for a minute. It's so just crazy. The second health bar. So that's crazy. All it is.
So crazy. Let me see. We'll go ahead and I'll do get behind me. When saving your allies from harm, you push them behind you to better protect them. When you use intercept strike to protect an ally, you can move that ally up to 10 feet within your reach if they are willing. You cannot move your ally into other through obstacles, and you must move your ally to be farther away from the source of attack if possible. Special, if you have intercept foe, you can move your ally in the same way if you end your movement adjacent to the ally. Super cool. It's essentially a free reposition. Love it. You intercept and you reposition them.
Yeah,
it's it's cool.
Imagine doing that, getting in position, and then being able to do shielded attrition when you're in range. This whole thing is just you can't touch me. You can't get away from me. It's all done. You're stuck here. I think it's really thematically cool. Like, this gives me vibes of the actual 1E Paladin, finally. The champion did it for me on the 1E Paladin, because the 1E Paladin was really good at, like, okay, I'm going to take all your damage. Like, it's going to hit me. Yep. It's not going to hit you.
Uh-huh.
And I like the mechanics the champion gave, but it didn't give me that same, like, real tank savior of the party will jump into harm's way for everybody feel that this does. Level 12, we get Armored Counterattack, Paragon's Guard, right where you want them. We're going to keep the hits keep on coming with right where you want them. If you're master in athletics, you can take this feat, and whether it's with a weapon or with your bare hands, you keep your opponents in their place. Increase the distance you reposition or shove an opponent to 10 feet on a success and 15 on a critical.
Yeah, love it.
So good.
Love it. So good. Yeah, no, that's really, really good.
I don't know if there are any, because I haven't seen any. I haven't looked really well. Is reposition a weapon trait now, or does it just take whatever shove has?
Nope, whatever shove has.
Okay, so imagine a range shove weapon, which exists, right?
Those exist, absolutely.
Right? Freaking shepherd's crooking somebody that's on their way to your ally just pulling them back to you.
And let's keep it 1,000. At level 12, if you're not making your guardian large or enlarging them, and you have that capability, you're kind of trolling, because that would increase their range dramatically.
Yes.
And again, not that you have to, I'm not telling you how to play the game. But from a reach perspective and them being able to protect you, major advantage. Major advantage.
Yep.
So. Paragon's Guard is the one I'll take real quick. One action, it's a stance. You were wielding a shield. Once you've had a moment to set your stance, you always have your shield ready without a thought. While you're in the stance, you constantly have your shield raised as if you'd use the raise a shield action. Your shield is raised the entire encounter. This is the point where now you are actually people that want to talk about, it's OP because the proficiency increases. Now you're finally able to actually feel that proficiency increase. It takes until level 12.
Without having to worry about it.
So,
yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, and I think that's for level 12. That's where, again, like we were saying, the 12 to 15 range, that's where the game starts getting crazy anyway. So all the other classes are popping off too. I don't want to hear it.
Right. Level 14, we get Blanket Defense, Bloody Denial, and Improved Intercept Foe. Why don't you take the first one? Why don't you take one first?
Sure. Let's see. Let's do Bloody Denial. Flourish, Guardian. Two actions. You strike a foe with force to prevent them from reacting. Strike a creature. If you hit, the creature must attempt a fortitude save against your class DC. If your strike was a crit hit, the result is 1 degree worse. Critical success, unaffected success. The creature cannot use reactions against an ally you designate, like we were talking about earlier with some of the other stuff, a designated ally. And failure, the creature cannot use reactions until the beginning of their next turn. That's huge. And then failure, the creature is also stunned one, because, if it wasn't bad enough, now it is even worse. But yeah,
I love this feat, but I still think it's strictly worse than shielded attrition. Because it only affects one thing, right? It's just That I mean, I think it highlights the bad design of that specific feat, that this one, which is an amazing feat, pales in comparison to a level 4 feat. That just shows the bad design on that one. I feel sad.
Yeah, with that level 4 feat, like I said, all you need to do with that one is just tailor it to one, like designated target.
Like taunt, a taunt target would be great. Yeah. I'm going to take improved intercept foe, which, again, kind of boring, right, on its face. But it's amazing, because when you use intercept foe, you get plus 10-foot circumstance bonus to your speed for the reaction. Shield, man. I love it. This is the only thing that would make me ever want to play an elf, is take that high move speed, boost it with, like, fleet, and then stack things like improved intercept foe, so you're zooming around the battlefield, mitigating damage like a madman.
And don't forget that last sentence in there. It's really important.
Oh, yeah. At the start of each of your turns, you gain an additional reaction that you can use only to intercept foe. If you've taken the right feats at this point, that is four intercept foe reactions per turn. You can literally mitigate damage for every single member of your party per turn, and one of them twice on a standard 4-person.
Yeah, that's crazy. So at 16th level, we have Clank. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to be more hyperbolic. It's just so good.
No, this is very, very good. 16th level, we got Clang, improved reflexive shield, and Never. So I'll take Clang because it has an exclamation point. I like that. Free action. Frequency once per turn. Trigger an enemy critically misses a strike or spell attack roll against your AC, which again, with their jacked up AC, wouldn't be too hard, especially if you got that Paragon's Guard raised shield going. As their blow or spell glances off your armor, you make a foe pay for attacking you. Either strike the triggering enemy or stride up to your speed toward the triggering enemy. If you do so at the end of your movement adjacent to the enemy, they are off guard until the end of your next turn. 2 rounds. That's crazy.
Good. That is so good.
And you can do that once per turn, by the way.
Right, and it's free. It's a free action. Right? It is like a reaction that's a free action, and hopefully things are going to be smacking at you all the freaking time. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm going to take the other one with the exclamation mark. Never! Because this one's really Never! Fun. Each time you would strike an ally due to being confused or controlled, you can attempt another saving throw against the effect that caused you to be confused or controlled with a +4 circumstance bonus to the save. If you would end the condition due to the save, you don't make the strike, and you can take any remaining actions during your turn as normal. This is insanely good, and on a character whose will save progression is not the best, this is amazing.
Because I think it's 17 until you get your resolve. 17?
Yeah, exactly. Really? 17 is
that's rough.
Resolve.
That's rough.
So you're going to find yourself confused and controlled and stuff. So being able to get that +4 to override the fact that your wisdom is probably not as high as like your strength and your con, because you're going to want to pump con with this class. This mitigating that controlling effect, which would be fantastic for DM to throw on you, even if it was to make you lose actions to not be able to react and protect and mitigate damage, having to get out of that is extremely important for your character. And this is a must-have feat, I almost think, at level 16.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really, really good.
Up at level 18. We're almost there, guys. Perfect protection and shield from spells. We can do both of these this time.
There's only two.
Right. I'm going to do shield from spells, I think. It's shield from arrows, but it works on spells, which I think is much more impressive. Much more impressive.
That's very good.
Because like I was saying, not a lot of GMs are using ranged physical attacks, but everybody uses ranged spell attacks.
Mm-hmm. But do not sleep on perfect protection. It's insane. Requirements, you're wearing medium or heavy armor. Your armor protects you from the deadliest hits. Each time you are critically hit while wearing required armor, each attempt a DC 14 flat check. On a success, it's just a normal hit. Oh, but it gets better. Special, if you have the fortification rune, It lowers it to DC 12.
You're going to.
Yeah, I would hope you are. And if you have the greater fortification rune, which you're level 18, let's face it, you're probably going to have greater fortification rune, DC 10, which means you have a 55% chance to turn a crit into a hit. That is crazy.
And then
crazy.
You're already going to mitigate that. It's so good.
That's it's so crazy. Especially if you have mitigate harm. That's even more damage you're mitigating. That's so crazy.
It's so crazy. And this is really important because you're gonna eat a lot of crits. Let's be real, right?
You will.
You're gonna eat a lot of crits. Because of the amount of numbers and rolls that are gonna be thrown at your character, you are going to be chomping crits. So you need this.
Because it's one of those things where, like, you know, and communicate this with your party or like your players that you're playing with and your GM. It's like, hey, guys. I'm not going to take it personal if the GM like quote unquote picks on me. Cause like this character I'm designing to be picked on. So right? It's like, yeah.
But, and here we go. Let's wrap it up with
the capstone 20th level. We got boundless reprisals and quick vengeance. So boundless reprisals. Oops. They mistyped it. They gave it the fighter feat or the fighter trait.
That's fine.
With a sixth sense for the flow of combat, you can quickly react to this situation. At the start of each enemy's turn, you gain a reaction you can use during that turn for any reaction from a guardian feat or class feature.
Let's for the class, that's 5 intercept strikes possible per turn. Yep. 5.
No, at the start of it. So if you were surrounded by 8 enemies, you'd have a reaction at the top of their turn. That's so crazy.
That could also be up to 3 shield blocks.
Yep.
So good.
So
it's so good.
Very, very nuts. Quick vengeance. Let's wrap it up.
Quick vengeance. Indignant at any who would strike you or your allies, you get your revenge. When you intercept, strike, or shield block, you are quickened on your next turn. You can use the extra action to move closer to your enemy whose attack triggered that reaction or to strike that enemy.
Those are both so good. I actually don't know which one is better.
I think Boundless Reprisals is better, and let me tell you why.
Sure.
Your repositioning ability is almost unparalleled with this class. You can get wherever you're most needed immediately.
That's true.
And then on top of that, you don't hit hard, so who cares if you strike? So I actually think that Quick Vengeance, while it sounds really cool... is actually not that great at all.
You use the extra action to move closer to the enemy who triggered that reaction.
I understand that, but you are, when you do an intercept strike, you're already going to move. You already have the ability to move towards that enemy with intercept strike. This feat looks a lot cooler than it is. Yes, you know, you get to get closer. It could be good in some edge cases. But like most of the time, you're looking at maybe a 30 by 30 or a 40 by 40 battlefield, and you're already zipping around there like crazy anyway because of intercept strike.
And you know what I might do with Quick Vengeance as a submission? I think what I do is if I would change it to where if you successfully used... shield block, I would make it to where you could get a small damage bonus to like a strike. Kind of treat it like a riposte. I would kind of give it like a riposte feature.
So I think I would go a little bit different on this. I would think I would give somebody the option that if they triggered shield block as a capstone, then their shield is damaged for half the amount it would normally be damaged for.
Ooh. Or gains like a certain hardness bonus.
Right. Gains a
although
a
that's
bonus
more of that's a champion you know. Thing. That's a champion right. thing. So
but
yeah,
you like you could do the same thing because you're going to be shield blocking a lot with this character. Or that's like, true. You know, if you shield block once per turn, it's a +3 instead of a +2 or something like that, right? I would like or, that. I still think that this quickened is a trap.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah, I agree. Looking it over. So, yeah. All right. Like I said, obviously, the guys, be sure to go grab the PDF, which is in the Roll for Intent Discord. If you're not in there, go ahead and join. What you doing?
Rollforintent.com/Discord. We'd love to have you.
For sure. And yeah, because we didn't cover all of them because we'd be here for another hour.
And we still got to do the commander. That's the other one we got to do, which is a fun class, which Absolutely. Has a lot of really cool things going for next time. Yeah.
Well, all right. I think that about wraps us up. Very interesting class. Cannot wait to see what people are going to give their feedback on. So, Liam, great having you here with us.
It's great to be here.
I mean, I think you're around a lot now. I think we're stuck with you.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to be a permanent fixture in these things, I'm assuming. So, anyways, you all have a great week.
Right, and with
Trevor, you're supposed to say bye, y'all. Oh, that's right. Well, it's been so long, I forgot. I'm Christian.
I know.
I'll keep that. We're totally out
of. Oh, God, yeah.
God. And with Creator's Corner, I'm Trevor.
I'm Liam.
And I'm Christian. And you all have a great week.
Bye, y'all.